You know, sometimes you really, you try to think of something to speak on, and you think about it a lot, and I had some different ideas, and my wife and I, you know, we've been farming for about almost 40 years now, and we've had to really rely on God. You know, one thing in farming, you don't have control of hardly anything, the weather, anything, so you really rely on God. You pray a lot, and I think our early forefathers went through that also, but I started thinking about blessings. So that's what I'll be speaking about today. Blessings and the Way is the title. You know, some years ago, my wife and I attended her uncle's funeral. And I actually hunted with her uncle, and he was a very nice man. And he was very hardworking. He worked all his life. He logged, and he just had some very good work ethics about him. And he was very successful. He had bought a lot of rentals, and I think when he died, he left a lot of to his children. I think he had actually one son. But he was very successful in life. And I remember the pastor, you know, talking about him and telling him that he was a good man and everything, and that he was very successful in life, and that God had really blessed him. Well, it was a graveside funeral, and my wife and I were standing by his brother-in-law and sister. And I remember his brother-in-law became very agitated when the pastor said that about God had blessed him in his life. And he said, "Pete was a hardworking man, he was a self-made man, and God didn't have anything to do with his success." And I was just sitting there, you know, having faith in God and knowing how God works. I thought, boy, that kind of hit me wrong, you know, kind of hit a nerve. And then I remember another time, my wife and I had leased a cherry orchard, and we were working with this individual who owned the cherry orchard. And God was really good to us that year. He really blessed us with actually it was the biggest crop they ever picked. But I was talking to the owner, and I said, you know, I said, God really blessed us this year. And he started laughing. And it was a laugh that God didn't have anything to do with it. And, you know, he didn't believe in God, so I could understand him, you know, thinking that way. And really, I think this Judy's uncle's brother-in-law really didn't believe in God either. So you get that from people in the world. You know, we who have been called and given the Holy Spirit and have had our minds open to the truth of God have an understanding that others do not have about who God is, the way of salvation, and an understanding of His Word. As we have chosen to follow God and His way, and there's only one way, brethren, we also have untold blessings given to us. Satan has deceived the whole world, which it says in Revelation 12:9. Into following false ways and believing in false gods. The majority of the world is blind to what God is doing for us and all humanity. You know, they really don't understand what God is doing, and especially with his people, or really people in the world. You know, the subject of blessings and its connection with the way of God are profound in our lives. Today, I would like to look at God's blessings and the way of God. You know, when we look at the big picture, all blessings, directly or indirectly, come from God. And these were some of the thoughts that were running through my mind when this individual said that God had nothing to do with Pete's blessings. We know that God the Father created all things through Jesus Christ. let's turn over to Colossians 1, 15. And we'll read through verse 18. It said, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence." You know, brethren, when you think about it, how the reason we're here today, we were created from dust and God breathed life into us and gave us the spirit of man back in Genesis when he started everything. Mankind owes its existence to God the Father and Jesus Christ. He created the earth and the universe and all the galaxies. He gives us oxygen to breathe. If you don't have oxygen for a few minutes, not very, very long, you will die. I've never been able to hold my breath very long. You know, some of these people, you know, they go underwater and hold their breath for a long time, but I'm good for only a couple minutes. And I start wanting some oxygen. He's given us food to eat, all kinds of different fruits, vegetables, grains, everything for us. He gives us water to drink, and you can't go too long without water before you die. God the Father and Jesus Christ created us in their image. We have minds to think, converse, and imagine. Our bodies are intricately made and designed. If I had to take a test to tell you, to name all the organs and where they are in the body, I'd probably fail. Our bodies are really complexly made and designed. And it all our body, all the parts function together. Our minds, liver, heart, lungs, everything. But God gave us all that. And we should be thankful for that. Let's turn over now to Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20. And I'm going to cover a lot of things today that I think we all know, but I think sometimes maybe it's good to go over some of these things and to be thankful for the blessings that we have. Romans 1:20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools." You know, brethren, we should always be thankful to God for our lives and his creation. The plan he has for us someday. For many, God's blessing as our creator is never acknowledged or given thanks for. It's so easy to take everything for granted. For us in the church of God, we have been called to follow the way of God. It's a different way of life, a journey that is difficult. And we've heard many messages not too long ago about the difficulties of following this way of life, the trials and tribulations that can be so hard, but build character in us. Let's turn over to Matthew 7:13. Matthew 7:13, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. But even though, brethren, that we have trials and tribulations in this life, and a lot of people do go through a lot in this life at times, but do you know that there are manifold blessings that come with it also? Let us now consider some important points about the way of God and his blessings. You know, God's laws can bring the keeper of them blessings, or if not kept, curses and hardship. We know that the transgression of the law is sin. People in the world that God has not called who keep some of God's laws will be blessed. Brethren, if a man is faithful to his wife, if he doesn't lust after other women, he's going to be blessed for that. His family will be blessed for that, and his relationship with his wife. But a lot of the commandments, if people keep them, will be blessed for them. This is the law of cause and effect. You know, when God chose Israel as his chosen people, he gave them a choice to follow and keep his commandments or not. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy 7, 9. Let's see, Deuteronomy 7. We'll start in verse 6. He said, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people of himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Then the Lord did not set his love on you nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all the peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." You know, notice God calls the Israelites a holy people, a special treasure, and expects their love and obedience to his commandments. Brother, God calls us now a holy people, his treasure, and expects us to love and follow his way of life. In Deuteronomy 28, we find the blessings for Israel if they love God in his way, to keep his commandments and statutes. In this chapter is also the curses that will come upon the children of Israel if they fail to keep his commandments and do evil in the Lord's sight. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 30:15. He says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love," this is Moses talking, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if you turn your hearts, But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. You know, there is a law of a blessing for keeping God's commandments. But God also intercedes in the lives of his chosen people, blessing them in countless ways. We know that Israel did not have the heart to love God and keep his commandments. We know they broke the old covenant and God had to divorce them. We as true Christians have God's Spirit in us and have His laws written in our hearts and minds. We have repented and accepted the way of God. Keeping God's law leads to blessing, brethren. You know, the doctrine of lawlessness is not the way of God and is contrary to the plan of salvation. True Christians must repent of sins and spend a lifetime of overcoming sin and being converted. We strive to become like God the Father and Jesus Christ, to love like them, and being children of God, to seek after their righteousness. Some who preached a false doctrine that we do not need to keep God's commandments condemn the practice of righteous works and insinuated that those that did this were selfish and were trying to earn salvation. And this happened not too many years ago, brethren. They said that we were paying tithes and praying for blessings, that we were doing it to get something, like it was something selfish. They really misrepresented the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We know that the gift of forgiveness of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit cannot be earned. Jesus talked about those who are lawless and still want to be accepted as Christians. Let's turn over to Matthew 7, 21. And I remember when all that was going on back in 94, 95, that I talked to an elder, and he read me this, or quoted this scripture. But it says in verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The way of God, which there is only one way, is tied to commandment keeping, to change our conduct and to live righteously. Blessings occur when we do this. Let's turn over to John 14. And I know a lot of these scriptures we've read many times before. John 14, let's start verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's only one way to get into the kingdom of God, and that's through Jesus Christ. And let's read over in verse 21. This is what Jesus says. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then verse 23 says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." You know, brethren, all people must repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is the way and has given all mankind the opportunity for salvation and eternal life. You know, brethren, many times when we think of blessings, we think of material blessings. Certainly through the ages, God has poured out physical blessings on his servants. But you know, the most important blessing that God gives us now is a close relationship with him through the Holy Spirit that gives us the opportunity to be his children and the ability to change and develop holy, righteous character and become like him. Jesus said in Luke 12, 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." I have trouble saying that. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. In Matthew 6:19, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Brethren, the society we live in today, and I think we all know this, is obsessed with material things and is moving further and further away from God. We are living in a very immoral and godless society. You know, as long as the economy is good for a lot of people, that's fine. They don't care about anything else but the economy. But brethren, there's a lot of other things that we as a people need to look to leadership in our country for. But we are living in a very immoral and godless society. God is being pushed out of most people's lives. You know, sometimes when my wife and I, every time we come to church, we pass this billboard, and it's the my mind's blank, the lottery. And they have these lotteries up there, Powerball and all these other, I think there's three of them. Well, last week, I mean, it's like $500 million. And I think some lady in San Jose, California won it, and she's going to get $380 million, and the store owner is going to get $1 million. And I know my wife and I are always joking, like, "Hey, let's get a ticket. And I tell my wife, it would be a curse for us if we won that thing. It would be a curse. I don't want to win it. "Oh," she said, "I think we could handle it, you know." I go, "No, it would be a curse to us." And, you know, most people that win those lotteries, it ends up being a curse for them. They can't handle it. But, you know, God, brethren, is interested in our spiritual state foremost. Our overcoming, keeping his commandments, putting out sin, and developing godly righteous character is all part of the way of God. He has shown us the way to eternal life and will freely give it to all who love and follow him. Let us now look at a couple of commandments and a statute that promise blessings. And we could look at every one of the commandments, but it would take too long. And I certainly cannot cover all the blessings that God gives us in one sermon. But let us look at the fourth commandment first. Let's turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, and we'll start at verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be my holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Here we see the seventh day Sabbath is a holy feast day and a holy convocation. In Genesis, the seventh day was the completion of God's creation. He rested on it. It's a day that God blessed and sanctified or set apart. God blessed it. It was by Jesus' own words that he said, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for Sabbath." It was made for us, brethren, the Sabbath was. When we look at our worship of God and loving him, we realize it encompasses the way we live our lives. The Sabbath was given so that once a week we would assemble and worship God and develop a close, personal, loving relationship with God. This sanctified day is blessed, and those who observe it properly as God intended will be blessed. Let's turn over to Isaiah 58. And I always thought this is a very interesting scripture, but it's talking about the Sabbath. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourselves in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's talking about being blessed, brethren, above all other people for keeping the Sabbath, if we do it properly, worshiping God. You know, brethren, the Sabbath should be a time when we draw close to God and our brethren and families in love. And that's why we're here today. We should honor God by learning more of his ways and draw close to him in our prayers and thoughts. It is a good time to meditate on godly things and the wonderful future we'll have someday in the kingdom of God. God made this day so we could have a relationship with him. We are also physically blessed by resting, brethren, having one day a week where we can leave stress behind. Resting is good for our bodies. And I can tell you, working through the cherry season, that I really appreciated this Sabbath. And I think my crew did too, you know. They all went home and they all came back Sunday. But resting is good for our bodies. When we rest, our blood pressure lowers. And it lowers when we eliminate stress also. For many in the world, they see keeping the Sabbath as a burden and giving up precious time. My wife and I were talking about that on the way to church today, about how hard it would be for people to give up one day to worship God, to give up what they're doing, going up to the lake or whatever. They would think it was just absolutely foolish to do something like that because they would have to give up their time. This blessed time is a wonderful opportunity for God's people to realize the love God has for his people. It is a blessing. It is a test commandment, one sign of the true people of God. Another commandment we can look at is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. You know, as we look at our society today, the breakdown of the family is a curse on our people. Young people who grow up with only having one parent are often disadvantaged at the lack of having been raised by two parents. I know of a lot of single parents, but I know that a lot of single parents do the best they can. But God made the family and children to be raised by parents. And this doesn't happen sometimes in our society. A general lack of respect for parents in our society creates so many problems for the elderly and the younger generation. You know, you don't notice this a lot until you start getting older. And as you get older, you're treated a little bit differently. Sometimes I get offended when I'm in the store and this young little lady who's packaging my groceries says, "Do you need help out with this?" Nope, I can still carry my bag out. And it's kind of comical sometimes, but they're trying to be nice. I don't know. And I keep thinking, man, do I look that old? Am I looking older and older all the time, you know? But I say, no, I can carry it out. The close family relationship that should be there oftentimes is not. To truly honor our parents is a godly thing we should do. and the entire family is blessed by it. I remember some of the best times of my life were being with my grandparents, uncles. We would gather together, and I know talking to my wife, she said that her grandparents were just, I mean, were the greatest, and they spent a lot of time with her. And you know, when you're little, you get spoiled by your grandparents. But you know, having those connections in a family are so important, to have grandparents around and have the children. And that's the way, you know, by honoring our parents and our grandparents and having respect for the family, we can be blessed. The respect and love in the family promotes well-being, and it definitely can extend the lives of those in the family. Caring for and respecting our parents helps us all to be giving and loving individuals. God wants us to learn to respect others and life itself. Let's turn over to Zechariah 8. And this is looking forward to a time in the future in God's kingdom. And to me, it's going to be a time of blessing. Zechariah 8, if I can find it here. And starting at verse 3. It says, "Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of a great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of the people in these days. Will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts?" What a blessing families will have in the kingdom of God. You know, another part of our worship of God that we recognize, brethren, is the law of tithing. Our tithing today supports the work of the church. We support the spreading and preaching of the gospel. We support the ministry that shepherds God's people and teaches God's word in their ministry. And let's turn over to Malachi 3. And we'll start reading in verse 8. God's talking to Israel here, and he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." You know, if you've been in the church for a while, you know that God blesses those that love him and keep his law. And I've heard many stories of God blessing people in the church and providing for them in ways at times, brethren, that can only be explained by God's blessing hand. Many times in people's lives, God has sustained them. He has gotten people jobs. He's done so much for us, his people. You know, the church at this time is being blessed financially. And I think we're all happy about that, because God's people are being blessed. And God's people are a generous people, brethren. You know, the people in the world, if you told them that you're giving 10% of your money to a church, would think you were crazy. Because that isn't the way of the world. The way of the world is get. It is not give. You know, Jesus had something to say about being generous and giving. It certainly is a godly virtue. In Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you." As we see the blessings that come with following God and loving Him and following His ways, we realize as we contemplate them, many blessings are yet to come. I have to tell a story about giving. One time, I had some workers working for me, and I thought, you know, it'd be really nice to bring them coffee. So I would stop at Starbucks, and I didn't do this forever, but it's pretty expensive at Starbucks, but I had three or four guys working. I got them all coffee, and I bring them in the morning, and I thought, you know, I'll be nice to them, and, you know, maybe make them happy and do a little better work, you know. And then I was on my tractor, and I was driving down a road, and I was thinking, you know, I spent quite a bit of money there at Starbucks, you know, and I looked down at the road, and here was money laying on the ground. I don't know how it got there, but there was like $5 bill. I found more. I got off the tractor, and I'm like, you know, when you find money, you start looking around, you know, it's just somebody's money. And so I thought about this verse, and I thought, well, you know, maybe somehow that, I don't know, I think it was a coincidence. But anyways, I thought it was funny in a way. But many of our blessings are yet to come. And also many blessings by the hand of God, like protection, angels protecting our families at different times, protecting us. We don't really see that a lot of times. Sometimes we can see the consequences of things that happen and stuff, but we can't really see it a lot of times. God fighting our battles. We pray to God and we ask Him to help us when we're fighting battles, trials, and tribulations. But God is there. His hand is there. He is our protector. And it is good for us to keep a vision of the kingdom of God, brethren. Being a child of God, a spirit being, someday is almost hard to imagine. We know we will be like our elder brother in Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the restoration of all things will take place in the kingdom of God. Blessings will pour out on the earth. Let's turn over to Isaiah 25. And we'll start reading in verse 6. This is always one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. It says in verse 6, "And in the mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all His people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all the people, and the evil that is spread over all the nations. And He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces." And that's a time, brethren, that we are looking for. It's a time of blessings for people in the kingdom of God. And that's where the way that we are going, that's where it's going to lead. You know, many in God's church have suffered persecutions and trials and tribulations. You know, if you look at the early church, how they suffered and what a great persecution they went through, and that the many that were martyred, you have to really look up to them for their faith. They, by faith, look for a better place that awaits us all in the kingdom of God. Let's turn over to Romans 8:18. Romans 8:18. It says, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. You know, brethren, we think about some of the things that we have to go through in life. God's own Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, suffered greatly for us and died for all humanity to cover the sins of mankind, to give life, an opportunity for eternal life to all mankind. God the Father and Jesus loved us so much that they performed this, and they love us now, brethren. We have the blessing of healing in the church also, brethren. Many people have been blessed by the stripes of Jesus Christ, the covenant that the healing covenant that he made with his people. And we're blessed with that. And I think many stories could be written and told. There probably could be books of all the healing that God has done in the church. You know, brethren, God has called us to follow his ways and commandments. It is a way to live evermore and receive eternal blessings. God has opened our mind to the truth of his way. We must walk in that way. Let us give God all the credit and thank him and Jesus Christ for making it possible and giving us blessings now and forever. In your lives, if you think God has blessed you, thank him. Give him the credit. In Psalms 34, 7 through 10, it says, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing."